So this week, we are once again moving into the celebration of the birth of Christ. And I wonder how this second pandemic Yuletide is going to be for us. Most of us here have seen a lot of Christmases, but none quite like the last two. We've been on both sides of the presents under the tree. Maybe you could recite Luke chapter 2 right here if I asked you. Maybe you could cook a turkey in your sleep. I'm not there yet. And there's probably nothing happening here in the next 7 days that you haven't heard or done for decades. And yet, at the heart of this season, we revisit every year this powerful story of God showing up in our world. The incarnation, the enfleshment of God, is explosive stuff. In our reading today, Mary lists off ways that he's going to change everything. It's a radical transformation. Everything is being reversed. Maybe not so much reversed as leveled. The proud are scattered. The powerful are brought down. Instead of the rich being filled, now the hungry are the ones who are satisfied. Mary, of course, identifies with the lowly. So this is really good news for her. And she's blessed because God has seen her and looked on her with favor and has kept his promises and is raising her up. She praises God because she knows that all of this is what it looks like when God's purposes and plans are being fulfilled. Which is good and beautiful and exciting, but it also makes it a really difficult passage to preach on. Because the Magnificat always makes me stop and think. Because I am neither the lowly nor the hungry, not even close. And I remember when our income was at the lowest, when we were just starting out and struggling to make ends meet, I took this ecological footprint quiz online. It asks you questions about your lifestyle and what you eat and how much you travel, that kind of thing. And it measures the impact you have on the environment. The results shocked me. I was in the top 2% of humans on the planet. I, who is decidedly not wealthy here, was richer than 98% of people. And if everyone on Earth lived like I and my family did, we would need 4.5 planet Earths to sustain us all. And when I took the quiz again last night, I was up to 5.3 planet Earths. I don't share this to guilt us, but just to say that by living here now, we are actually insanely wealthy, even if it doesn't feel like it. Which brings me back to the question, what if I'm on the wrong side of Mary's song? What if I am the rich and the powerful, and these days I would add the literate, the educated, the healthy, the privileged? Mary's song, the Magnificat, makes me uneasy, and maybe it should. Because it doesn't always seem like good news for all the people. When I was a kid, we would pack up the car and drive down to Calgary and visit my grandparents for Christmas. On Christmas Eve, my grandmother would cook something good for supper, and then every year in the evening, she and my grandpa would sit on the couch, turn on the TV, and watch A Christmas Carol, the real one. The one with Alistair Sim playing Scrooge, and before they colorized it, because the ghosts are infinitely spookier in black and white. I learned just last year that Steve's family did the same thing, with an entirely different version of the movie as the definitive one. But anyway, this one is mine. As I'm sure you remember, Ebenezer Scrooge is mean-spirited, miserly, and miserable. He cares about nothing and no one. He's greedy and selfish. But then on Christmas Eve, he's visited by four ghosts. The first is his dead business partner, Jacob Marley. And then the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. The specters show Ebenezer scenes from his life, and each of them reveals something of his cold, self-serving heart. Finally, he's shown his own grave with no one left to care about him. As he pleads for mercy and promises to change his ways, the vision ends, and he finds himself back in his bed with the opportunity still to make things right. So Christmas morning comes, and he rushes out into the street with joy. And he sends dinner to his poor, neglected employee, Bob Cratchit. and he pledges to take care of them. He shows up at his nephew's dinner party to everyone's surprise, and he becomes known for his kindness, warmth, and generosity. I think Mary's song might fit into that story as well. In a sense, there's a Magnificat leveling happening. The poor and the lowly are being lifted up, and the mean and greedy one is brought to his knees. But instead of that being a terrible thing, the result for every one of them is joy and fullness of life. Things are being turned around. It's a real transformation of heart happening. Not because God hates the powerful, but because God cares for each and every person and wants to set things right in here as well as out there. And I think this is maybe why so many Christmas movies are about a change of heart. Because we subconsciously understand that Christmas is about setting things right. For example, the Grinch's small heart grows 3 sizes and he returns all the Who's presents that he's stolen. Or George Bailey realizes just how wonderful his life really is. And Kevin McAllister stays home alone and learns how much he loves his family. In each of the Christmas stories, someone's change of heart leads to a change in how they see their situation, which in turn brings healing to their relationships and becomes a great blessing to them and to those around them. Mary's song shows just how big that transformation is intended to be. Even though the way it works its way through our lives isn't often dramatic, still, the arrival of Jesus Christ will change everything, all the way from each human heart to the whole of our existence. We too are part of that divine project. Each one of us is here, I'm sure, because somewhere along the line, the ripples of the incarnation of Christ have touched our lives. And we're still being caught up in what God is doing to heal and transform. No matter how many times we've heard these stories, God's salvation is still working its way through our lives, and it has not grown stagnant. God is still working out those heart-level miracles that Mary sang about and Ebenezer Scrooge experienced, looking with favor on the lowly, scattering proud thoughts, filling the hungry, making things right, and fulfilling what God has promised. All around us, in big and small ways, God is doing what Mary sang about, and that's good news. May we, like Mary, open our eyes to what God is up to, receive it with faith, welcome it with joy, and find ourselves stirred up with her to rejoicing and praise. Amen. Amen.